Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's December 16th, 2024, people. Good morning. Happy Victory Monday to everybody. Thanks for tuning in to The Junks on 106.7 The Fan. You can also hear us on 910 The Fan in Richmond, VA. And, of course, you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, all presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. And as I mentioned, it is a Victory Monday presented by Chiniga Mios, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. And the Christmas vacation schedule has officially started. It's a two-man show for at least the first 4 days this week. It's the EB and Biff show because JP and Cakes are on vacation.
Of course,
Matt and Mike behind the glass. And it is a Victory Monday. What's up, Mr. Bickle?
How are you, buddy?
Good morning. Happy Victory Monday to you.
Yep. Much better spirits today than I was sort of towards the end of the game. I was very dejected at the end of the game, but
yeah,
it's all good. Got the dub, and we're on to the next.
It's one of those things where, okay, they didn't play very well, especially in the second half. It wasn't a well-played game, in my opinion, besides a couple of nice touchdown throws to Terry McLaurin from Jaden, and Jaden was very solid. McLaurin was very good, but you know, sacked 8 times. They had 9 penalties, and of course, there was some controversy at the end of the game there with the clock not stopping on the first down. But we'll get into that. But a win's a win.
A win's a win. They got the dub. They basically got the dub. Just need one more,
and they got to 9-5. Yeah, I mean, it looks like 10 wins should lock them up.
I believe the first time they've been 9-5 since 1993.
Yeah,
I believe that's which is really an incredible thing to think about, to put it in context. So as disappointing and frustrated as we might have been, those of us that are fans towards the end of that game, you got to just really sit back and relax and go, man, feels great to be 9-5.
Yeah.
And you know what? We got a juggernaut coming up this week, division rival. It's going to be a hell of a game.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be dogs.
Yes.
But enjoy the W.
But it's not easy to get wins, especially on the road. I mean, it's not like the Commanders are a juggernaut where they're the best team in the league. So when they're playing bad teams on the road, sometimes it might be a little dicey. And things have to go your way, but man, that would have been a bad loss the way it could have ended.
They almost effed around and found out.
Yes.
They almost did. but they pulled it off.
Yeah, I mean, outscored 19-6 in the second half, and of course, Spencer Rattler was the one that got him back into it.
Hey, credit to him, man. He went out there and balled out.
He did. He threw some really nice balls. He wasn't sacked at all. Haener was not good, and they pulled Haener, obviously, and it was just a couple different things happened there late in the game where Rattler got them down to the three, and they got the first down. But the clock did not stop for about 4 or 5 seconds, and it should have. And I was looking at the clock going, why isn't the clock running?
This, I mean, the clock did, yeah, the clock did stop, and it should have kept
running. The
clock
stopped, yeah, and it should have kept running for 3 or 4 seconds, and, of course, allowed them to spike it, and then they score and then go for the two and didn't get it. But a fortunate win, but a 20-19 win for the Commanders
is,
to get to 9-5.
Just one or two things go their way, and then it's a lot, you know, a lot easier game.
Yeah.
You know, obviously everyone points to the McLaurin connections there that were just off just by a little bit.
Yep.
Good news is again, Jaden protected the ball. Yeah, got a little dicey there with a couple of those little balls he put on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But just thrilled with what Jaden brings to this football team. I was surprised he didn't run the ball a little better, to be honest with you. I mean, what
you mean as a team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaden was fine, but just like the running backs, kind of expected to get a little bit more there. What an addition Lattimore was. I mean, you would talk about the epitome of a shutdown corner. They didn't even look his way.
Right, correct.
I mean, how amazing
and
is that?
And Scantley had two catches.
So, I mean, that's not going to happen every week, but if you can largely just take out, like, half the field or one guy.
That's big.
That's huge. Yeah. And I think St. Juice was on the wrong side of that, right? Because I think he wasn't on the field as much because Iguanabe, I can't say his name. I'm sorry.
Iguanabe, yeah. He and
Sandstrom were the other guys more often than not.
Yeah. And there were a couple of injuries in the game. We'll see how that works out for the rest of the week. But obviously, Zach Gertz with a concussion. And then Chin went out. I don't know.
Chin, he said he was fine. He was knocked out cold.
He was.
So, you know, he's going to be dicey for next week.
Yep. So those guys are in the protocol. But a win is a win, 9-5, 20-19. Daniels had some really, he was sacked 8 times. I thought a couple times he held on to the ball a little too long.
For sure.
But, you know, there were guys just weren't open. I mean, New Orleans did a really good job.
Well, they did a good job with their pressures.
Yeah, they did.
You know, and I don't know if it's stunts, whatever it was. I mean, they were kind of coming at him at waves. And you got to tip your cap to Chase. Chase had one of his more dominant games.
Yeah.
So good on him.
If he would have played like that with Washington, he'd still be there.
He'd still be here. Exactly.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, he was posing a little bit. You know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You have your moment. He pressured for more than like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
He like stayed with it, which has kind of always been the deal with him. But, hey, got away with it. That they're a tough team in a sense that they never gave up. I like their head coach. I like the fight. You know, he's their interim guy. Yeah, yeah, but I like the fight that he has.
Yeah, remember how pissed he was after the clock had stopped and the missed field goal from Greg Joseph.
For sure, because you know he knows if you give him a second chance, he's going to bury that. I understand why DQ went for the field goal.
I didn't like that call.
Well, it's in the dome. You expect to make those.
I know.
It's long, and
but especially after you missed the one, I didn't agree with that. I felt like they should punt and make Rattler go. You know, the entire field.
Yeah.
And I had it in my gut that he was going to miss that.
Yeah, I kind of thought he might miss it too, but I understood it. You're inside, and you know, remember I told you I expected our kicker to go perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I actually didn't expect it to be Joseph. I guess I technically owe Cakes money because they had a different kicker, but it was because of injury.
It was,
but I think I technically owe him $2 on that.
Yeah, he was inactive. I thought he was going to be fine because we hadn't heard anything bad about him. You know, we knew he was battling something, but we thought he would play.
Technically, wouldn't Cakes owe you $2 because Zane didn't miss a field goal?
I don't think so.
If he wants the $2, that
I don't think I can. I don't think I don't have the balls to argue that one. Valdez, I like it. Hey, by the way, we're both. We're wearing the same sweatshirt today. I'm going to try your sweater.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Valdez gave me his Vineyard Vines sweater that he said was too itchy.
Yeah. Have fun with that wool.
I wear wool a lot. I think I'll be okay with it, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'll report back to you. But yeah, I can tell you that watching that game, it was a weird game.
Yeah.
Because it was almost boring.
It was a tale of two halves.
It was almost boring for a lot of it because I felt like we were by far the better team.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, we weren't putting up enough points and we let them hang around. And then it got interesting late, you know, you're clenching your butt cheeks there towards the end. And I guess you could say it got, I wouldn't say necessarily exciting, but there was more drama towards the end. But for a lot of the game, I felt like it was kind of a snoozer. It was kind of a quiet, chill game. I mean, so it's like a few good plays. I mean, the throws to Terry, especially I think it was the first one.
Right,
which was the one where he threw it to, to where Robinson was in the end zone with him.
Oh, yeah.
And he
yeah.
came across. Was that the first
that
touchdown?
That was the first one, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a spectacular play by Jaden.
Yeah.
Well,
and McLaurin was just to catch the ball in traffic like that in the end zone. I know he had a couple drops, but that was huge. And, of course, the second one to put him up 14.
I can't remember the second. Remind me the second one. I can't visualize it.
That was Jaden kind of scrambling around again and found McLaurin. McLaurin started out on the right side and then just crossed the middle of the end zone, and he found him.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaden was under pressure the entire game.
Yeah, yeah, I really thought he was. And you know, look, Biadasz, I guess, had to was out there in the pregame, was sick. They tried to give it a go.
Yeah, he couldn't go.
He couldn't go, and I think that probably had a lot to do with it.
You wonder if New Orleans had started Rattler, if that game would have been, you know, a lot tighter. Certainly in the first half, and maybe it could have gone a different direction.
Could have been. The interception that Haener threw was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was like a classic rookie mistake.
Correct.
When he threw that up. Good on Sanderschill for making the play.
Yeah, I mean, he posed no threat. He threw one or two nice balls, but he really posed no threat. And Rizzi obviously agreed. And he said, you know what? We got to get Rattler in there because he's going to move the ball down the
field. Rattler did a nice job. And I don't know what was going on with Kamara because he went out. What was his injury?
He had a groin.
He had a groin?
Yeah. And then they brought in Miller. Miller can move.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he kind of sparked them a little bit. But, again, a win's a win. Get to 9-5. Play the Eagles. And that game means a lot more for the Eagles now since Detroit lost
because mm-hmm.
they're going for that one seed. But, I don't know. I just felt like, you know, certainly in the first half they were dominant, but I just didn't feel like they played that great of a game. I mean, nine penalties, eight sacks, drop balls.
They had a lot of mistakes, but – they did have the ball for almost 40. They did have it for over 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It was kind of, they kind of like lulled you in there. But give the Saints credit. They hung in there, and they certainly could have stole it
mm-hmm.
At the end. And I basically figured they were going to convert the two-point conversion. I'd kind of already written it off in my brain. So to escape with a win was huge. And after sleeping on it, I'm okay with it. It's life. The NFL's week to week. Listen. I'm a diehard Skins fan, but I'm gonna pick the Eagles. I think the Eagles should be favored. Hopefully, though, that this lights a fire in them and they play a little tighter game this week against Philly. Obviously, you can't afford to give up eight sacks. They're going to have to connect on a couple of those deep shots.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of hate when you nickel and dime, and then everything kind of hangs on a deep shot.
That's just the way the offense is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Drabby, do we have this on audio with the clock management?
No, that's just the response from Hot
Billy. It was really bizarre where the guy's running in there and you see him waving the clock off, and I'm assuming someone on the sideline said timeout.
And he's running to spot the ball.
It's the only thing you can think.
The ref just had a brain fart, college.
Yeah, but I mean, is he a college ref?
First down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the only thing I could think. I mean, obviously, you think college, but the only thing I could think is maybe somebody screaming timeout. I don't know.
So I guess referee Sean Hockley. I'm guessing Sean Hockley is that Ed Hockley's son? Or
I think so.
Yeah. He was asked at the end of the game or after the game why the clock had stopped. And he said, the covering official mistakenly stopped the clock in that situation. The clock should have not stopped. We all know that. And then the question was there any consideration of reviewing the stoppage? Was there anything that could you guys have done after the fact? He said, nope, it's not a situation that's reviewable. So they just had to live with it. And he was also asked when he was aware of the mistake. And Hockey said, "That's all I have for you. The covering official mistakenly stopped the clock at 9 seconds. And it should have been kept running. That was probably a 4 or 5 second difference there. Spiked the ball. And they were able to score the touchdown."
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of a disaster there. But, like, I kind of like what Jaden said. If we had scored points, that wouldn't even be an issue. I don't even like to focus on it. Mm-hmm. You know, brain fart, I guess, by the official.
Yeah.
But we just, you know, we could have salted that game away. We had several opportunities and didn't. And,
yep.
But and they were fortunate to get away with the dub, and I think the guys know that. So.
But can you imagine losing that game the way it all kind of played out?
Sure. I've lived that for the last 30 years. I do that about 4 or 5 times a year.
That would have been a bad loss, especially with the clock situation.
But it's not.
But it's not. All right, run it back. It's his Victory Monday, 9-5. And Jaden was really, really good. That 3rd-and-14 run where he got 25 yards.
That's why he's special.
That was a massive play.
He also had, and I was thinking of Drabby, he had a couple tight window throws.
Yeah.
You know, like over linebackers, very little space, you know, in front of corners and safeties.
Yep.
That I thought were really impressive. But, you know, certainly they had some issues there in the pocket, and they brought a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know what their track record is, like in terms of how well they've been pressuring quarterbacks this year, but they certainly gave us fits.
Yeah, and Chase Young had his best game of the year.
Well, maybe I think his they best said the week before, didn't they say he had like 8 or 9 pressures or or 9 hurries or whatever the hell
he had? I
mean,
I guess when you look at the sack column, he's not always in there, but he's getting to the quarterback more often than he was here.
He is a freak. He's a freak. It's all about effort with Chase, I think.
All right, on the show this morning, we're going to have John Keim, of course, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. We're going to be talking to John next segment because he's getting ready to jump on a plane. Also, Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show on Team 980, will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. But when we come back, John Keim, stay.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
With us. Welcome back. It is a Victory Monday presented by Chenika Mios, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Let's talk to our good friend John Keim, covers the Commanders for ESPN.com. I believe he's at the airport in New Orleans, getting ready to hop on a plane. JK, what's up?
What up, guys? How are you?
Doing great.
How busy is the airport right now down there in NOLA?
Busier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But I was kind of warned. It's not bad, but it is pretty busy. I got here at like 4:30 their time.
Oh, geez. So, what time did you get up? Yeah. 3?
3:30.
Because
you have to beat the alarm to wake when you wake up, right?
Right.
Alarm was set for 4, but you get paranoid when you're in a hotel.
Oh, you get anxious.
You don't want to miss the flight.
Yeah. That's me every single night, JK. All right, so just kind of give us your takeaway. 20-19 win. It got very dicey. We'll talk about the controversy there at the end, but 20-19 win on the road. Even though it's a bad team and you're facing backup quarterbacks, it's not easy to win. You know, it's not easy to win on the road.
We had the ball for 40 minutes.
Yeah, couldn't put them away there in the second half, outscored 19-6.
Yeah, and I guess, so there's a couple ways. First of all, you got to finish better. And if you want to do something, you have to finish better. That said, they're 9-5. They beat a team they should beat, and they're in good position for the playoffs. And, you know, it's funny because I know, obviously, it wasn't pretty at the end, and there were a couple misconnections between Jaden and Terry McLaurin that could have made the game different. Plays that they often hit, and it would have looked a lot different, right? And then you hold them at the end, but again, 9-5, and I think I don't blame people if they think like that was just an ugly win, that wasn't great, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
They won 4 games last year. They haven't won 9 games since 2016, so I think it's good for people to feel disappointed, or not even disappointed, but a little like, after a win, because it's certainly better than feeling like that after a loss.
No, for sure. And there was a lot. I mean, I still think there was a lot of good. I mean, I thought Jaden very solid. Too many sacks. I don't know what was going on there. But I think not having Biotis probably contributed a little bit.
A little bit.
They brought some pressures that, you know, I give them credit. I mean, we were kind of like on our heels a lot. Jaden trying to find a little room to maneuver. But hell of a plays he made, especially obviously the run on third and 14. That was massive.
Yeah.
The throws to McLaurin in the end zone, those were great. You know, as a fan, a little disappointed the way it ended, but just thrilled at the end of the day that they pull it out. Because you know what? It has to be reminded that it is a week-to-week league, and oftentimes these performances, they don't really carry over. Like, it's a whole new day next week.
It's very much, and, you know, it's funny because if you watch college football on Saturday and then you watch this on Sunday, the mentalities have to be different. Like, as an Ohio State fan, I measure every game by, is that good enough to win a national championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every game you watch, and so, like, there are a lot of times they might win by 3 touchdowns. You're like, that was not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NFL, it's like the goal is get that W, go on, because you don't know. And, like, every week you see games where it's like, wait a minute, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
And how did that team win? It's kind of like the NBA. Like, you can have a bunch of guys out, and you still have NBA guys coming in who can get hot and beat you. So, like, you do have – it is difficult. And that's not to make – like, listen, again, they need to close out better, and they know that. And the defense needed to play better at the end there, right? But yes, it's very hard. It is hard to win. And I think if you're a Washington fan, you more than anybody should know how hard it is to win in this league.
Yeah.
Because these are the games they've lost for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, I just 9-5, seventh spot in the playoffs.
Great spot
and
to be in.
And whether or not, like, you know, and I know some people are like, well, they're not going to, people, you hear from people like, they're not going to do anything in playoffs. Well, maybe not, but, like, did you think they were going to make it?
Right.
I mean, I think the other thing, like, they're outside of the Dallas game, they're really beating the teams they should.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, that's, to me, a first step in all of this, right? Beat the teams you should, and then, you know, build your roster to beat those other teams.
Yeah, I was frankly, because I've been so used to it, I was just kind of assuming they would convert the two-pointer and have to explain this one away for a week. But they, you know, they didn't. They held out. And part of that, I think, and it's hard to understand the impact when they don't even challenge Marshawn, but to not even go his way, that's pretty darn impressive, and that could be pretty helpful down the stretch, I would think.
Well, for sure, and I think, what I'm curious to see is, like, even this week, matching up against an A.J. Brown,
mm-hmm.
you know, guys like, you know, you have Drake London in 2 weeks, you have CeeDee Lamb in a few weeks, so, like, seeing him match up against guys like that, yes, is going to be crucial. Then you have, like, if you're in man, you have Quan Martin who can cheat to the other side, et cetera. So I think you're right. Like, you almost forgot that he was there sometimes because, like, oh, yeah, this is Marshawn's debut
mm-hmm.
because he didn't have to do anything.
Right.
And that's a credit to him. And, you know, but I think the disappointing part is that they still were giving up these big plays and, for a variety of reasons, wasn't just always on the corners. But yes, I mean, that's what they had hoped to get from him. I mean, he's a really good corner.
I think, you know, whether or not it's a reaction to sort of the kind of the uproar from all the stats nerds or whatever, but they are moving Terry around a little bit more.
They are giving
him involved a little earlier, which is fantastic. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a response or they're just their own self-evaluation. We got to get this guy the ball because they clearly feed off his energy. And then also, I just want to say that beyond, like, Jaden's obvious, like, scrambling ability and some of those great plays to Terry, I thought he made some really good tight window throws.
Yeah, he did.
Yesterday,
he did.
Too, for those critics that say, you know, anybody can make those throws.
Well, if they could, then why aren't they making them? That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you're seeing other quarterbacks do this every week, especially when you're a rookie. So no, I mean the touchdown to Terry was an incredible. Like, according to Next Gen Stats, he had a separation of 0.7 yards.
Is that the one where he was near B-Rob?
Yeah. That was the touchdown where he scrambles for or he extends for 8 seconds, and then he had a couple other throws that were just bullets. I think I think Jaden is smart with the ball. And there's sometimes, even on those sacks, where I look at it and say, okay, is he, like, there was one where I looked at it and was like, could he have thrown here, or is he just being cautious on a 1st and 10, where he had a bootleg or a play-action boot to the right, kind of has McLaurin open, but is he really open, and you're throwing back a little bit across your body? Is that a smart play? It's 1st and 10, run out of bounds, no yards, it's considered a sack. But you live to, you know, 2nd and 10 is better than, you know, a possible pick, right?
So, like, well, remember what Haener did, right? When Haener's scrambling around and just chucking it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to a guy who was covered.
Right.
I mean, it was kind of like,
it was like comical.
So I think, he will make those throws, and he can make those throws. I just think he's smart with the ball. Like, sometimes that's going to mean you might look at a play and say, could you have done this? Yeah, but, you know, he's got, 19 touchdowns and only 6 picks. So,
tell you the other thing, John, that I love about him is I really just love the way he has, like, a joy playing. You know, like, like, you just see him out there.
He's
and
always talking
to guys.
Make a
big hit on him, and he'll just pat him on the butt and start talking trash or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, this guy just has a joy for the game.
He's enjoying life.
And it's like he's relaxed, you know?
Oh, he's always like that. And I would say this, like, that's how he is all the time. Like, when you're around him in the locker room, it's constant with other guys he'll I think I've talked about this before, but Charlie Mueller, one of the PR guys, he's a Mets fan. He rags on him all the time. Mm. You know, he and Bobby Wagner go back and forth all the time about various things, the NBA stuff, et cetera. But it's always, but that's just who he is. And you see that in practice, like they're throwing into the net in practice. And like he and Sam Hartman, constant competition, but a joy with it. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, he celebrates if he beats him in a competition throwing into the net, but like, mm-hmm. that's who he is. And so, yes. And it's when I remember talking to Herm Edwards for my podcast before the draft.
Yeah.
And ask him about it, you know, about him. And like, that was one of the things he talked about. He's like, hey, this is how, you know, he'll come off the field after throwing interception and he'll have kind of a smile on his face. And it's not because he's happy he threw a pick, but it's because he's like, I'm going to get him back.
Yeah.
You know, it's that competition aspect. Okay, you did this to me. Look what I'm going to do to you. Mm-hmm. And when I'm going to, this is how I'm going to respond. So like, yeah, I think that's just, it's who he is and it's why. But the other thing, I think when you're like that, you embrace the process of it all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best thing about him is that he embraces that. So that's the film study. That's the, you know, getting there early and putting your work in, first in, last out kind of situation. And I think that's, again, you embrace it all, and he does.
Hey, how did you feel about, you know, it's 20-13 and Washington's trying to drain the clock a little bit. They get down to the 36. I guess it's a no-brainer in the NFL to you know, trek your kicker out there and try and kick a 54-yarder.
When it's indoors, yeah. Like that.
Especially indoors, I get it. I just didn't feel good. My gut told me he was going to miss it, and I guess that's easy to say after he did miss it. But I thought, you know what, just punt, short punt, get it. Maybe Tressway can pin it down inside the 10 possibly and make Rattler go the length of the field.
Yeah.
But they gave the ball to him right there at the 40.
I kind of felt the same way that, you know, but again, like, it is indoors. If you – we see a lot of kickers make those. You know, but, I mean, haven't seen Greg Joseph too much. I mean, he's an experienced NFL kicker, right? You're
sure.
Kicking indoors. It was also a low snap again, too.
Right,
so,
right.
Like, that's happened on a couple of
those.
Is
that an issue now that we got to worry about?
Well, I don't know how much it would have messed it up because Tressway is so good at getting the ball down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it messed up the operation. I just know that it was another low snap. And it hasn't been an issue except for a couple times, and you're only going to see it when it does get like that because, you know, one thing Tress talked about earlier, I remember talking to him earlier this year about having all these kickers and adjusting to that. He goes, listen, the thing that makes it really easy is how consistent Tyler Ott is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, is that a consistent thing? No. We saw that with Cam Cheeseman. We know what a consistent issue looks like, you know, when it happens like that. I don't think it's that. It's
mm-hmm.
just, you know, but I'm with you. Like, I had the same feeling, like, you know, I would have punted.
Yeah.
But again, I get, like, it's 54 yards, it's indoors, it's prime kicking conditions, and you put the game away if you make it.
Right.
And they, you know, so I think that, like, I understand it, but I probably would have gone another way.
Feel great about it.
I'm sure every
coach would have done that too.
I think you mentioned that the guys knew that this crew. I listened to your pod when I was driving in this morning, John, and that the guys knew that this crew is a little flag happy. I got to tell you, I didn't understand the Fowler call.
Oh, that was terrible.
I just don't understand it. I'm still sitting here.
That was the worst call of the year.
Like, what was that?
I don't have a good explanation for it, and I won't even try because.
Yeah.
Every time I see those penalties, I'm like, I don't understand these calls. Like, I don't understand, you know, I know there's by the letter of the law, there's certain things. I don't even know with that one. But yeah, that was my first thought as I saw it. I was like, I don't understand these calls.
What about the one
on
Terry where he bobbles it? Not the one where he bobbles it by himself, but like the guy was like draped all over his arms before.
Yeah,
like I know you can do it after you touch, you know, after there's some contact or whatever. But
yeah,
but I thought that was a PI.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look closer at that one because I only saw
it.
I watched that this morning. But yeah, I mean, sometimes they get away with hand fighting, I guess. But yeah, I don't have a good. I'm with the roughing ones though. Like I didn't, you know, I don't get those. And again, you're right. Like Sam Cosmi was saying, they knew they were flag happy, and
mm-hmm.
and they were.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, that's three games in a row now where they had 10, 9, and 9 penalties. Like, that would be,
yeah,
you know, whether they're flag happy or not, you've they hurt them.
Yeah.
And I mean, shoot, you had, and the one I want to go back and see Allegretti's holding on the one to De'Ami Brown, because that play puts the game away.
Yeah.
And so I don't know.
I think when I saw the replay, it looked like he was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. But it's like that. But regardless if it was iffy, ticky tacky or not, you can't have those. And they had too many of those penalties. And like, shoot, even before the Jaden touchdown to McLaurin, like there was a penalty that pushed him back there too. Like there were just too many of them. And again, if it was one game, but this is three games in a row now. And I just, as you get down the stretch, I think you need to clean that up a little bit more.
So before we let you go and hop on the plane, wherever you were, I assume you were in the press box, when you were watching that at the very end when the clock did stop, were you guys all aware of that?
So I was sitting next to David Aldridge, and he immediately said, they stopped the clock.
Yeah.
And so I did not see it in real time because you're writing stuff down.
Yeah.
And but he saw it, and then what I did see is immediately looked up, and like I see Cliff Kingsbury up pointing up at the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you could clearly tell that the sidelines knew that it had stopped, you know, especially the coaches, right? So and then after the game, God, Dave and I, like, he's sitting there, we're timing how long it was stopped, and you know, depending on how quick your thumb is or how slow your thumb is, it was, I would say, you know, I think I put my story at least four. I think it was at least five and possibly a little bit, you know, maybe even 5.5 seconds. Like, mm-hmm. That was absurd. And I don't know, like, and there was a pool report, and Sean Hockley, the referee, said that the side judge, Jim Quirk, was like, yeah, you stopped it. It shouldn't have happened. Well, no, duh.
Yeah.
But why is he calling for it to be stopped anyway? Like, I don't. There was no reason for that. Like they didn't have any timeouts. You should know that nobody was calling a timeout, and so I don't understand why it was that even happened. You know, like, and what? You know,
how long has Jim Quirk been in the NFL?
I don't know, but
actually, it's been a long time.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. So, but it was quite amazing because I don't. Because when he caught the ball and gets tackled, my first thought was, oh, the game's over. They don't have time out there. It's done.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to get up there. And when you time it out, again, like, he would, at best, he would have been getting under center with 1 second left.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you can't spike it because the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, but I don't even think they get it off because, again, he was just getting under center. He would have been getting under center at best at 1 second. So, yeah, that was brutal. And if they had, I mean, that's the thing, like, it's, and maybe that's like the football gods helping them out there at the end, you know, with the 2-point conversion, because if you lose that way and you miss a playoff spot that way,
yeah,
that would be hard to take for any team.
Yeah, and then they can't review it, so it's not like they
can't review, yeah,
take the touchdown away. Yeah, that would have been bad.
Yeah, right. And it can't just be oops, our bad. I mean, but I don't know what else you can do in that situation, but that was absurd.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Have a safe flight. We'll talk to you next week, my friends.
Thank you, John.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, all right, okay. That's John Kime. Getting ready to hop on a plane. Yeah, that would have been I mean, like Valdez said, maybe, you know, he's a former college ref. I assume he probably was.
Maybe he still does college games. Who knows?
And he just botched it. It was just a brain fart. But that should never happen.
That was bizarre.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about the Altcast, our first ever Altcast that we did on Monumental on Saturday night for the Cap Sabres game. It was very interesting, but we'll get your thoughts on that. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fans. EB and Bish show this week, at least till Thursday. And, of course, Friday we have the holiday show at MGM at the sports bar there.
I think I'm planning on Thursday. I'm going right over to MGM. I'm just going to make it a day. It's going to be a hell of a day.
Go over and take a nappy nap.
Go take a nap, little whistle, go to the Wiz, go hang out at the Hennessy Loft.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great.
Get a good dinner.
It's actually a good plan. I enjoy it.
It is a victory
month. I'm not sure what time you can get in there, though.
Well, usually Cake sets it up, so like usually I can get in, but maybe not.
Depends on how busy it is. It's not that busy.
Usually, like,
pull some string.
Yeah, maybe. But usually, when like Cakes has the Cakes Classic, mm-hmm. I go over there right after the show.
I know, but I think the people that we're getting the rooms from isn't through Cakes' connection. I think it's a separate connection.
That's fair. But I think that those people at the front, they don't even know. It's just, you're just, you know.
They just see one open up on their screen, they'll just give it to you?
I think so.
Hopefully.
I think so. But it's fine. If not, I'll just go there and eat, hang out, wait.
All right.
But yeah,
I can't wait. You always go to the tables.
Yeah, I'm just kind of out on gambling. Yeah. It's kind of out.
I think I'll go sit at the tables for...
You're going to play some blackjack?
Probably for an hour or two.
I just don't have the cash. I used to have like a big wad of cash always, you know.
I'm not saying I'm going to bring a big wad of cash. It's an hour's worth.
I don't even have cash. I never have cash.
Yeah, you got to go to the bank, my friend.
JP gave me $5 during the thing, and then I had to give it back, and so I'm back to no cash again. I just don't carry cash.
By the way, it is a Victory Monday presented by Chenega Mios, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
Love it.
We will be taking your calls next hour to get your reaction to the 20-19 win, so just hold tight. But Saturday night, we went down to the Monumental Sports Network studios.
And I have to tell you, and I were dreading it.
I tried to have more of a positive outlook.
Did you? You changed your attitude?
On Friday.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday. But I was thinking about it a lot. It was on my mind all day Saturday.
I was trying not to think about it.
I couldn't.
But every time I thought about it, it made me cringe.
I had to think about it. Because I just didn't know what to expect. It's out of our comfort zone. We don't do those.
It's just a weird bit where you're sitting there while the game's going on. And... I don't know, like all of a sudden you're talking to PK Subban. I mean,
I know, it's just weird. And you're just kind of reacting after the guests were done. Of course, it helped that Rod Langway sat in pretty much the entire second period with us. But after that, you're just kind of reacting to everything that you're watching between the Caps and Sabres.
Well, they don't really want you to. You just kind of,
I know, but it's just natural when you have nothing else to say.
I think they kind of want you to lock in on it, like in the last 5 minutes of the game, if it's close, like it was.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out.
Right.
But I know, first of all, what an unbelievable studio they have set up over there.
Yeah.
And it really is cool when they have it all lit up and you know, it says the Junkies everywhere and, you know, it just seems like, feels like you're part of the team over there.
Right.
And I have to say, everyone over there is really nice. It's super supportive.
Yeah, of course. Great dudes.
Everyone's great.
Yeah.
And here we are sitting there anxious and bitching about it. Yeah. It's just that, you know, we want to put on a good product. We don't want to suck.
Yeah. But we also didn't want it to go to overtime.
Oh, I definitely didn't want to go to overtime.
And we were pulling for that, and luckily we got the third goal.
By the way, when I left, a couple of the producer guys told me, and I don't want to blow up their spot, they also root for no overtime. And they're willing to go, like, just want the game to end.
Right. I did the math, so we went on the air right around 7. I think it was right at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And the game ended, or we got off the air at 9:47.
Right. Now, we weren't on constantly.
Because during the intermissions, they kicked it back to Alexa and Alan May.
Yeah.
And then the second intermission, they did another recap, and then we came back. So we weren't on for the entire time.
By the way, Alan May looks fantastic. I mean, how great a shape is Alan May in? Alan May's probably close to 60, right? He's older than us.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd have to look it up.
Drab. Alan May's in phenomenal shape. He looks unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, he's a former athlete that continues to work out hardcore and eats right.
Hardcore.
Got great hair.
The guy's a stud.
See, he's 59.
He's an absolute stud, and he's so locked in. And he was actually getting us fired up
when we were talking
to him during the break about how good this team actually is.
Correct.
Because, you know, it's kind of taken us by surprise, but he's not really surprised. He said when he saw those moves they were making in the offseason, he was like, wow.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's a big Carberry guy, too.
Yep. But he actually thinks that they are a potential Eastern Conference final team.
He said they're basically one player away. I think he said one right-handed defenseman. If they get one more right-handed defenseman, he said, they should be good. But Drabby, why don't you give us your perspective?
Drabby got there early too. What time did you get there? 4:30?
Not that early. Yeah, 4:15, 4:30, something like that. But I mean, I felt a little sheepish because I did literally nothing that night. Uh-huh. I guess, you know, I was doing stuff beforehand, but I had my feet up.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went and got the Junkies food.
Yeah.
in the arena for the entire second period. I stood in line right. waiting to get the junkies food. Yeah. Me and Frank.
Well, I actually think the food thing worked out.
No, it was good. Here's the thing. You guys are so talented. You guys just sleep on yourselves of the banter of sitting around shooting the S and making it entertaining. All four of you guys. There was nothing to worry about.
I appreciate you saying that, but it is just awkward.
I mean, I'll get to the bad part.
Yeah.
But you guys are you're phenomenal. Like, you guys were talking about nothing, and it was interesting. That's what you guys do best. Mm. The only thing I wish you didn't do was say 1,000 times, "We can't wait to go home." That's my only bone to pick, just because.
That was kind of the bit.
I know it's your bit, but I think it was kind of like maybe, in my opinion, a little like disrespectful to Monumental.
Well, I didn't want to be, and that's why I preface it by saying, "Look, their guys are so nice." You know, I did not want to be. It's not about them.
But see, that's how. It was just kind of
because
in
like,
the third...
it seems like you guys are there at gunpoint and
kinda. Because it's just not our scene. Listen, I really do appreciate what they do for us. I just, you know, just not comfortable doing it.
Plus, overtime is like 4 minutes long.
No,
I know, but
it's easy for you to
4 minutes
say.
4 minutes would have felt like 40 minutes.
Hot dogs.
I just was there. Well, there's like 2 commercial breaks.
I know. It's just
they go to commercial break, they come back, they play. It's like a minute before someone scores 90% of the time.
The good news is you are an afterthought. I don't think that many people are watching, and you're a little tiny square while the game's going on.
We got to get the square bigger. The junks are too silly for a little square.
Well, I was fine. We Jason and I wanted the square to be as small as possible. Right. And I'll tell you I got thrown right at the beginning when they showed my gap in my tooth here. I'm dealing with all these teeth issues, and I haven't gotten this one fixed yet. And right away, I was like, I couldn't. My daughter's even texting me. She's watching in New York. She's like, "Dad, you got to smile. I can tell you're trying to hide
That's the reason you weren't." Yeah.
I was like, she says, "You look like you're miserable." I go, "No, it's actually not horrible, but they showed that. I had a close-up, full screen, you know, 100-inch TVs in there, and it just looked terrible."
Yeah.
And it threw me the whole night. I just couldn't relax.
I think you made the right move.
Which is
I'm showing Valdez a picture of your hole in your mouth.
What's the right one? What, not smiling?
It was
not
terrible.
Smiling, yeah.
But then it was terrible.
But then everybody was saying EB's not having a good time because
he looked like a hillbilly.
I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I was, and it's like, that was our very first segment. Come on, do the intro. I smile, I'm happy. And then I look at over in the corner of my eye and they see they have a solo shot of me.
Yeah.
And they would have thought you're a former player.
Yeah, it's just, oh man, it threw me. It really threw me.
But I was anxious all day Saturday, and then once I got there, I mean, the traffic getting into DC was just awful. JP was like a half hour late because I don't know what he was doing. He took the metro in. But I was trying to stay positive but now I kind of know what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
I don't know
fine.
When the next one is, but. I'm guessing the next one's a Wizards game. Is that true?
I don't know. Yeah. Depends on the schedule. Probably Wizards.
It was fine. It's just a weird bit where you're just sitting there and you just, you know. Our instinct is to do 4 hours of shtick and, you know.
Atmosphere.
Yeah. But there it's like, it's almost like you can talk too much. Like, it's a weird balance. I don't know.
Well, and it's also,
and you
got to
be comfortable with dead air.
We're not used to 5, 4, 3, 2, you know, and being out. And luckily, JP was doing the ins and outs, and I couldn't do that. But we're just not used to that.
Well, it's like that awkward deal, like when you see on the Manning cast, where they interrupt the guests because you're going to a hard break.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up working out okay, I think.
What's it going to take for JP to wear some Caps gear?
I don't know. He was like a club party shirt
he was wearing.
I don't know what he was doing.
God, he's so rigid.
It seemed like he was so uptight.
He must be doing the 1-in-3 out with all of his Caps gear.
I mean, come on.
People were like, he didn't even have the gear.
Yeah, everyone else was wearing.
And he goes, next time,
I'm just going to wear a dress shirt. I'm like, oh, all right.
Whatever.
He's auditioning for American Idol or something.
He's the Ryan Seacrest job.
I don't know. But anyway, I do appreciate, first of all, Were they upset? Were the producer guys, were they complaining about us? Like, were they saying that EB's got to shut up about that?
No. I heard someone over at one point say, just tell him it's only a couple minutes long. I think it was after the 17th time you said, no overtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do appreciate them, and it really is cool. And those guys that hung out and watched, you know, they were really appreciative of all the social media interaction. So thank you for bearing with us on that.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's start hour number two, and we will hit the Skins. Of course, Chris Russell will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his take on the 2019.
Ricky.
It is a victory Monday. Yes, sir. Janika Mios, 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. When we come back, we're going to hit the Skins.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.